Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM with Frances Nesbitt and Mags Morrissey.
Hello and you're very welcome to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. I'm Frances Nesbitt from Crow and Cottages here in Kilkenny and I'm joined as usual by Mags Morrissey from Hedgehog Bakery. We're live today, Friday, and the show is repeated on Monday at the same time from 4 to 5. Now, we'd love to hear from you, so feel free to send us any questions or comments that you might have. And you might want to take note of these numbers because we've a great competition on the show today. You can text us to 086-353-7782. You can call the station 056-7762-777 or you can email the show at any stage during the week, kitchengarden@crkc.ie. Now, on the show today, it's a busy one. We're going to be talking to Nevin Maguire in a little while about his visit to Kilkenny and the two TV shows that he's created around Christmas in Kilkenny. We're also going to be talking to Lucy Brazier over in River Cottage when I visited last week. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. We'll be talking.
Anyone see my eye rolling?
We'll be talking about Christmas at River Cottage. And then there's the usual mix of food news, jobs to do in the garden, and nature notes. Lots and lots and lots to get through today, Mags.
Yes, very
right,
busy.
Speak faster. Really busy show.
Yep.
And you've just presented me with a box of. Oh, they're lovely mince pies.
Yeah, they're the nice pastry mince pies. The recipe that's on the podcast of the show, actually, that's that pastry recipe. So it has the ground almonds in it, and I think they're really nice. Oh, I just actually ate one of them. I brought you in six, but I ate one. So now you have five.
Lovely. Thanks for that. It feel like confession on the airwaves. Is that what you've just done there?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was really nice, and it is actually. Absolutely.
Thank you. I can't wait.
And they
to
look
kind
of cute,
the five
don't they?
That are left. Yes, would have been looked nicer now in a nice even group of six, maybe.
Do you think?
Would have looked nicer. But anyway, not to worry. Thanks for that.
Busy week I had.
Oh, good.
Busy week with the birdies, for the bird, the garden birds, the winter
garden bird survey.
Yes. So I
with
started
Birdwatch Ireland
in earnest. We're talking about it last week, and I started on Monday. So Monday was actually my best day at it because I had the time. But it's a really nice thing to do, actually. If you haven't started it, start tomorrow. get yourself a little notebook and write down all the dates, put your list of birds, and you'd be surprised how much more aware you are of what's outside when you when you're actually recording, and you're more eager. You want to see them because you want to have more on your list and you want to have more. So also kind of fascinated at how many rooks and jackdaws I have, an awful lot. I need somebody probably with a shotgun. But
is that encouraged by Birdwatch Ireland, do you think?
Probably.
Anyway, maybe we won't mention that.
But loads of blue tits, grey tits, coal tits. They're really using the feeder quite a lot, the feeder closest to the house, and chaffinches, lots of house sparrows, but there's loads of them around anyway. But the one that really kind of fascinated me this week were the starlings. I know there's plenty of them around, but there's a huge number of them roosting in the trees down at the bottom of the garden. And if you go down and kind of stand under the trees, the noise is fascinating. I saw them kind of flying and then heading back into the trees at night and that. But they've been doing it, but even in the dark, even when it's dark in the morning, so I was out very early on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and they were loads of chat from them, where the rest of the world was a bit quiet and stuff, but they were still chatting. And they actually mimic other birds.
That's right. Somebody uploaded a video on Twitter during the week and asked people could they help identify the birds that they have in their garden, because the noises were so different. There was no uniform noise. There was just lots and lots and lots of noise. But it was obviously starlings being starlings, which is the kind of high frequency whistle that they do, but then copying other birds.
They will copy curlews, and they'll also like car alarms, or chainsaws and that. So I actually find it hard to identify bird song, I wouldn't have a hope with these guys. There was just it's just a huge kind of cacophony of noise. So I reckon there's probably 300-400 birds up in those trees, actually. That's what I'm recording anyway. It's very hard to make an estimate. It's a guess, really. It's not an estimate, but
they gather together in massive murmurations during the winter, And they're the birds that you see in those fantastic videos on social media.
Yes, yes.
Where a cloud of birds is dancing in the sky. Fabulous.
Apparently up to, there's been an estimate of up to like 500,000 birds together.
Wow.
Which is quite amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
But we get the, we have a lot of resident starlings here. And then in the winter, birds come from Europe, from the continent, and the slightly milder climes here. So that's why we have huge numbers in the winter.
Okay.
And they all kind of hang out together, but they stay in large groups. And they'll roost in reed beds or in woodland or in the towns. They'll roost in old buildings.
Oh, they're very, I think they must be very flexible because you see them everywhere you go.
Yeah,
like countryside, yeah. Woodland, city, you see them all over the place.
Yeah.
There's one of them nests every year. Well, I presume it's not the same bird since it first started. It might be multi-generational now. But there's a small little gap in the eaves over the door of my shed. And one of them nests in there. And every spring, I'm certain I'm going to lose an eye because as I walk towards the shed, this starling panics and yeah, flies yeah. out. Or if I'm coming out of the shed, it's flying in with a worm. So somebody is going to, it's not going to end well. But I just don't have the heart to block it up, you know.
I know. I have one in the nest. Well, in the house as well, or in the corner of the house, and exactly the same. Or maybe I just don't get around to it. It's probably more likely, to be honest.
You should put it down to charity. Now
yeah.
We're getting very, very close to Christmas. Did you go do your Christmas shopping for foodies today and come up with suggestions for people?
Yes, I did. I have done absolutely none of my own Christmas shopping, but
you have lots of suggestions for listeners.
I have some suggestions for foodies.
Brilliant.
Among us.
Brilliant. Apart from now a voucher for a course making bread at the Hedgehog Bakery, what else do we have? Oh, that was it.
That's it, yeah. This butchery in Croan.
So what did you find?
I had a bit of a think, actually, and I wander around today. So I love the kind of kitcheny shops. So I was in Moobles and I was in Allen's. Allen's is probably my favourite, actually. And if you're looking to buy a coffee pot, really, of any make, shape or size, Allen's is the place to go. And they also, I think a nice present for somebody would be if you got them some really nice beans, like Badger and Dodo or something like that, a coffee grinder and maybe a coffee pot. That'd be quite a nice little collection of things together, wouldn't it?
That is a really nice little package. And you did this last year as well, not just one gift, but little bundles of gifts that all on a similar theme. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was one. So Allen's would be the place for that. Moobles has all sorts of bits and pieces. If you're looking for salt and pepper, some really nice salt and pepper grinders and stuff, they have a nice selection. They've also a really nice selection of Kilner jars in different shapes and sizes. There's pretty much something there for everybody. There's lots of, in all the shops actually, Christmas crockery. Like, who is without a Christmas mug or plate or cake stand or anything at this stage? But there's lots of that. And some of that's nice. And it's kind of a fun thing to get at Christmas. I got a lovely teapot from somebody last year. And it is a nice thing. You bring it out once a year and it goes away with the Christmas decorations for the rest of the year. But it's a nice thing to have, actually. A nice thing to buy somebody.
So long as they don't already have four.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Bah humbug. Sorry, I just wanted to get that in there.
You don't want...
I don't want a Christmas teapot. Don't buy me a Christmas teapot. I have a Christmas teapot.
Do you have a Christmas butter dish?
I have a Christmas butter dish, I have a Christmas teapot, of all of that kind of stuff. And because it's only used once a year, you kind of forget how leaky the Christmas teapot is until you pour your first cup of Christmas tea all over the table.
I think you need a bit of Christmas cheer, actually, not a teapot.
Well, you know, I would have maybe been a bit more cheery if I had six mince pies instead of five. Anyway, go on. What's next?
Sherpoint glass, if you're looking for nice glassware.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Moss, gorgeous pottery, Bridge pottery, lovely. I think that stuff is beautiful.
I love Mark's stuff out in the Bridge pottery.
Yeah,
really
good
lovely.
Stuff.
Yeah.
The pottery school in Thomastown has a sale on tomorrow and Sunday, and you can buy really good value, beautifully made, handmade stuff by the students there. So that's
now we're just after good. Getting a text in here and it says shop local, and that's exactly what we're all about, really, isn't it?
That's
so I don't care
doing.
Where you're listening to us, if you're listening on the internet and you're in another part of the world entirely, you don't have to shop in Kilkenny. Shop local to you.
Yes.
Because small businesses really rely on this time of the year to increase the kind of turnover.
You end up spending less sometimes as well, you know, and you don't spend half your day sitting in traffic to get to somewhere else to buy more stuff. We don't need so much stuff, I think.
A lot of talk on the radio during the week about the kind of panicked buying that goes on in the week before Christmas and the amount of money that's spent just for stuff that's going straight to the charity shop. And actually, one of the gifts that I'd like to recommend to people, I think it was Diana Henry, was actually talking about this kind of stuff. I know India Night was in the Sunday Times. Just too much junk. But for the foodie, you can't go wrong with a good cookbook, like a good cookbook.
No, and but I think a cookbook needs to be very carefully selected.
Yes,
selected. There's a huge number. Yes. I went into the bookshop earlier. There's a huge number of, and I scanned through it. There wasn't one there that I actually would want at the moment.
Diana Henry, in a
she
couple
hers
of weeks
wasn't
ago,
there actually.
A couple of weeks ago, when I was talking to her, she gave me the 6-recipe rule. So when you flick through a cookbook, there have to be 6 recipes that you immediately see in your flick that will jump out at you and say, "Cook me." That you would want to cook.
Okay.
Because then when you go through in a more detailed review later, there'll be lots more, you know. So if you do the flick through the book and there's nothing new in there or nothing grabs your attention, it doesn't really matter how pretty the book is. There's no point to buy it. And similarly, think of the audience. If you're buying it for somebody, think of the style of food that they like and are they recipes that they would like. No point in buying Asian cooking for somebody who doesn't like Asian food.
Yeah.
But one of the most popular books in Ireland this year is by Nevin McGuire. We'll be talking to Nevin in just a little while about his visit to Kilkenny. But Nevin has kindly given us 2 books to give away this week and next week on the show. And this week's book I'd like to give away is Nevin Cooks Christmas. And thank you very much to Nevin up in Black Line for, or in
McLean
House for giving that to us. So if you'd like a copy of Nevin Cooks Christmas, all you have to do, it's very, very simple, no question, just send us a text with your name and tell us that you'd want it. So you can text the show 086-353-7782 for you or for somebody else as a Christmas present. We won't tell them. If you'd like a copy of Nevin Cooks Christmas, drop us a line and let us know you're listening and that you'd want it. 086-353-7782. So there's 2 in there. Nevin is a great cookbook. And then Diana Henry, who I already mentioned, her book, which is How to Eat a Peach. Beautiful book. Mm. Absolutely beautiful. If somebody in your life is a foodie, loves to cook from recipes, just loves food or beautiful things, that book is absolutely gorgeous. And they won't be disappointed with that unless they already have a copy or 2.
Okay.
What else is on your list?
Then if you're looking for something kind of more sustainable and for somebody, wooden toothbrushes. The Little Green Grocer, I now use a wooden toothbrush for quite a while actually. Little Green Grocer has a nice selection of those sort of things. But a wooden toothbrush, they last similar length really to regular toothbrush, but they're not plastic, so it's not one-off plastic. So, and they come in a nice little box. There's different types and stuff. So, and also there's a new thing, actually, I only heard about it in the last couple of months from somebody at a bread class, actually, and it's called beeswax wrap.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of using cling film or on your sandwiches, you can use this reusable beeswax thing. So you can buy it in a nice little kind of pack. Can't remember exactly how much it is, actually, but I think that's a nice present for somebody who wants to move away from using so much plastic, actually. And you can wash them or kind of rinse them and keep using them over and over again and stuff. So, and they look really nice. And if you're looking for a hamper or something with a few of those little bits and pieces in it, you could make up something very nice very easily. So the Green Grocer, they've lots of hampers actually as well, and lots of, you know, bamboo coffee cups and things like that.
And I know the lads in the Gourmet Store are also doing hampers, and they'll do a hamper. You can actually go in and pick the stuff off the shelf for the hamper that you want in there. They'll customise the hamper for you. Or they have some ready-made ones with lots of local goodies in there. Very, very tasty looking things.
And same in Gore and Glossary. She makes fabulous hampers.
She's flat out for weeks, she was telling me now, the last few weeks doing hampers. She's so busy. It's a big, big part of
it
her business.
It is, yeah. They were selling them at the AIB yesterday on High Street for the market.
Okay, very good.
My teenager was singing down there. Truffle Fairy chocolates. I was looking, there's loads of nice chocolates been made in Ireland, but to be honest, we don't need to go any further than the Truffle Fairy. Mary's got some fabulous Christmas. She's got a mince pie one, and a couple of other Christmas themed, Christmas pudding one actually as well. It's just like gorgeous. So I think chocolates from Mary.
And made with
Truffle
real
Fairy
chocolate as well.
High percentage of
cocoa.
Stuff.
Yeah. And as we were saying on the show a couple of weeks ago, it'll actually help you prevent aging if you eat that high cocoa powder.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
excellent.
There you go. So
let's
eat more
get
of,
lots of it.
And drink red wine.
Yes. And if you're kind of, you can't think of something for somebody, a voucher for a restaurant. which is a nice thing, or take somebody out for lunch or before, during or after Christmas, I think is a nice idea as well. There's some nice cookware, some Allen's have a great selection of saucepans and that. I know that sounds a bit practical and stuff, but if somebody's looking for really good stuff, you know, that is a nice present. And knives, every cook needs really good knives. So,
but more than that, every cook that has knives needs a good sharpener. So don't just keep getting more and more knives. When you find a knife that you like, keep it sharp or make it sharp. Then yes, you don't need a new knife.
Yes.
So buy an electric one or buy one of those drag type ones, you know, that have the coarse setting and then the yes, fine setting. And do it regularly and you'll keep your knife nice and sharp.
Good idea.
So I think a knife sharpener is an excellent present. And I know I would have bought a couple of them over the years.
Yes, indeed.
For you.
I have them all. And courses. Mm. Something for the new year.
Learn a new skill.
Learn a new skill. Good thing for a foodie.
Would you believe that my first butchery class in March of next year is already full? So I've had to run an extra day in March because people have booked them as... Almost every place is booked as a present for somebody. Isn't that really nice?
That's great.
And the bee classes similarly. So somebody who's really wants to get into bees ahead of the summer, those classes are filling up as well. So people are buying the experiences over stuff in some cases. And there's one lady who's sending the husband on the butchery course and has booked a cottage for the weekend and is bringing the kids.
Oh yeah, lovely.
So like the whole family goes away
everybody's
for the weekend.
Everybody's happy.
She brings the kids off for the day and he learns about butchery and then brings home some meat that night. Like it's super. A really nice little gift.
Kids mind looking at the animals hanging.
Oh, the kids love that kind of stuff. Are you mad? They'd absolutely love it.
In our house, Santa over the last couple of years has put unusual things into the stockings, kind of for the crack. So generally a small kitchen utensil.
Mm.
So maybe a potato scrubber or a peeler, or somebody got a toaster bag last year, things like that.
Excellent.
So I need to, Santa needs to up his game this year now and kind of...
Don't put in knives, might be dangerous.
No, not knives.
Now, one more book before we go to the ad break. And coming up after the ad break, we're going to be talking to Nevin Maguire about his visit to Christmas, the two TV shows, or to Kilkenny, the two Christmas shows that he did about Christmas cooking in Kilkenny. And generally about life in McNean House and how things are going up there and his books and so on. But he's given us a couple of books to give away on the show. And the one we're giving away today is Nevin Cooks Christmas. So if you'd like to be in the draw to win a copy of that book, please just send us a text now to 086 353 7782. We'll put your name in the hat and then we'll pull out a winner at the end of the show. But we better take an ad break. But I did say I'd mention one more book before we go. There's one here now for the very serious foodie. There's a lady called Nikki Segnett. Have you heard of her?
Nope.
She wrote a book a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, called The Flavor Thesaurus. And it was a very, very innovative book. And it was very original kind of concept where you looked at one ingredient and then it told you what would go with that ingredient. What kind of cooks well with it or what you could replace it with or whatever. Fantastic book. So The Flavor Thesaurus for a very serious cook in your life. And she has a new book out now called Lateral Cooking, which is receiving the same kind of praise. It's not cheap now. It's an expensive book. It's about €40. But it's available in most good bookshops. And I know it's in the book centre here in Kilkenny. So
where's she from, sorry?
The UK, I think. Yeah, pretty sure. Maybe she's American, actually. You caught me on the hop there. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. But it's Lateral Cooking by Nikki Segnett. Now, we're going to take an ad break. Coming up after the ads, we're going straight to chat to Nevin Maguire. And then after that, some more gift ideas for the foodie and the gardener in your life. You can email the show, kitchengarden@corkc.ie.
Kitchen Garden is sponsored by the Artisan Food Retailers of Kilkenny.
And you're very welcome back to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. I am Francis Nesbitt and I'm joined as usual by Mags Morrissey. And you can get in touch with us at any stage while we're on the air today by texting the station, or you can email us during the week at kitchengarden@corkc.ie. Now, as promised, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Nevin Maguire. Nevin, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly, Francis. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you. Thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Pleasure.
You were recently in Kilkenny on your holidays.
Who said I was on my holidays? I've been there on my holidays, but I was kind of working. We were doing a TV show, and we were there 3 weeks ago. And it's a two-part series. So one is on Wednesday night, and the other is on this Friday at 8:30 on RT1. Kilkenny, I love the city. I love the county. I love the people. I love the food. You have something very special. And the reason why we went down there is because it was voted foodie destination in Ireland this year. That's all about good produce. That's all about good people cooking, whether it's chefs or restaurateurs or people in cafes, hotels. You have something very special there. It's fantastic. We loved it. So it was a bit of a holiday, but it was working too.
It's a lovely, lovely show. And I have to say, the foodie destination thing, it came about after many years of trying. I was involved in the first couple of years myself of trying to get the accolade from the Restaurants Association of Ireland. So there were a lot of hard work went in over the years to get that.
Well, congratulations to you and your team, because it's a huge accolade, and it's a fantastic achievement. It's a very prestigious award. I mean, like, we were in the top, I think, maybe 10, Cavan, when I say we put our best foot forward. But in my heart, I think Kilkenny totally deserved it. And I think this might be a format for us going forward for RTE, doing a Christmas show. I'm thrilled and privileged, and it's something we've been different to be in the castle, to meet the producers and to meet lots of fantastic people within the food industry. We got so well looked after. So my thanks to Kilkenny Tourism. It was kind of came about from John Masson, from Personal Masson, my TV producer David here, and, you know, Kilkenny County Council. They were fantastic. So that was where the idea came from. And it worked out brilliant, I have to say. I was absolutely thrilled. So looking forward to Friday night. Roll on.
It made for lovely telly. Really, really nice telly. I was sitting there with the kids watching it, and it was the toy show last Friday and then Nevin's in Kilkenny for Christmas. It really starts to feel Christmassy.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's lovely, because my thanks to Bord Beer, first of all, who sponsors, and there it's very clever, because we want to be kind of like the first out of the blocks for the Christmas cookery shows. But there's so many, you know, you have Donal, you have Rory, and obviously Doreen Allen. So you have lots of fantastic chefs who will be on over the Christmas period in the next week or two. So for me to be on twice in the same week was brilliant. You know, there's something very magical about food and the food at Christmas, and to give people inspiration. I never got as much reaction as I did last night on Twitter, on social media. So many people went to bed hungry that were saying it to me, but I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. Just pare everything back and just do the traditional simple roast turkey. And on Friday then we're doing the beautiful glazed loin of bacon, and then doing a really nice dessert. So it's just very simple and very doable for people.
Well, I don't know whether it was because I was a little predisposed to like the show anyway, because I knew I was going to be talking to you, or it was from Kilkenny, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought you absolutely nailed it. So much and all as we might like to talk about alternative Christmases and making things kind of fancy, the pitch of it was just absolutely perfect. The traditionals and how to do them well, and nice little kind of shortcuts for people, and reassuring as well. It was very reassuring tone. I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, I think the feedback, as I say, I got on social media, people said, you know, it's my first year cooking the Christmas dinner, I'm going to try that, and, you know, all the tips with the red cabbage, and then the lovely little, like, Goatsbridge Trout Farm, that beautiful starter I did, you know, the pate, which was, it's only maybe 4 or 5 ingredients, with some grilled, you know, crispy bread, sourdough bread, it was just beautiful, and the duck, like the duck confit, that's pre-cooked, you know, and there's some beautiful producers in Ireland who do that, like Skeehorn or Duck, now they're based in West Cork, or Silverhill Duck, but you can cook your own duck confit, but that takes time. So when you can get something like that, do a nice dressing, a little bit of mango, that's the key. It's beautiful food, and it's Irish food, and that's what we want.
It was a big starter as well. It was very generous.
Well, I am from Cavan, you know, and we're very generous up our part of the world. That could feed a family of 6. But it was a lovely, it tasted well, it looked well, the crispy vegetables. I thought the whole thing, and I have to thank David here, who we've worked in maybe 200 programs together. I'm very lucky, I'm very privileged, and I never take what I do for granted. I'm a chef, but if I can inspire and just bring people along the food journey, I've done something good, I've done something right, and I feel we're in a great time in Irish food with produce. To buy local, buy in season, and know where your food comes from. We should all do that as chefs, but as a consumer, you know, I have to feed my family every day and cook for them, and I want to know that I'm buying the best and I'm supporting Irish produce. I think that's so important.
It really is a fantastic time for Irish food, not just because we're producing such fantastic food, but because we've got people celebrating it like yourself. I think it's fantastic. And you met some great characters while you were down in Kilkenny as well, so you were in the hole in the wall, a favourite spot of mine.
Ah, such, he was amazing. I mean, to think a cardiologist and the most amazing Irish coffee, like, you know, he was such a character. Now, we had to head it off, like, he could have taken a full program. It was just amazing. His interest, his knowledge, his passion for what he's done, you know, that beautiful tavern, the history that goes in there, into that beautiful place. It's such a historic city, like, I didn't realise it was, I always knew it was beautiful and a lovely place to visit, but by God, there's some history behind that city. It was just fantastic to see the way they used to dine and eat, you know, in the castle. It's just like a different world apart, to be honest with you, and it was just a privilege. I mean, like, certainly I think for this Christmas show, Kilkenny has set the bar at a very, very high standard. Now we find it hard to get that Christmas. Next year we could be back for Kilkenny.
It's Kilkenny Christmas all over again with Nevin McGuire. Yeah, well, it could be a recurring theme, but a lot of the things that you covered in the show last night were fantastic for the Christmas dinner, but they're not the only options from Nevin McGuire around Christmas. You had a whole Christmas book out last year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I always wanted to do a Christmas book, so I wrote 14 books, well, 15 actually in total, including the latest one, The Home Economics for Life. So Christmas is obviously a very special time, and it's a time that food is such a big important, and like, I bring people along the food journey, like, if you're starting your soup, your whole timetable, lots of different turkey recipes. Like, I cooked a very simple recipe last night for the television, but to be honest with you, at home, in my own home, I do the turkey breast with buttermilk. It's a brined recipe, a technique that they use in America, with buttermilk, sliced orange, rosemary and garlic, and it's delicious. And I made it last weekend at the cookery school. I'm doing it tomorrow at my cookery school in Black Lion, and anyone that has it said it's the best recipe they've ever cooked. So just for your listeners, you marinate it in the buttermilk and all the other ingredients, this book, for 24 hours. You lift it out, you pat it dry, and then what you do is put a little bit of butter with some orange and lemon zest and smoked bacon over it, and you have the most fucking beautiful turkey. So you don't cook it in the buttermilk, you lift it out and you pat it dry and you marinate it in that.
The brining of the turkey is something that we mentioned last year on the show as well, and from the first time I've done it, there's no going back. It just creates such a succulent bird and keeps moisture in the bird as you cook it. The brining makes all the difference, I think.
Oh, I definitely think that. That's something I'd never really, you know, done before. And then we came up with this recipe where we kind of tweaked it and played around with it. And, like, I honestly can't do a recipe on TV unless I've tested it many times and it works, to be truthful with you. So this is pretty much foolproof. But the beauty about using the breast, and, you know, butchers might kill me, but get the full bird and get the legs boned and rolled, cook them separately. But with the breast, it's easy to carve, it's quick to cook. I'm going to cook two turkey breasts, and I'm going to be doing the goose for my own house at Christmas Day for my family and friends. Last year I had 37 people. This year I'll be doing for about 25 people cooking Christmas.
Oh, only 25 this year, so you wouldn't mind if another couple of us snuck in at the back. You wouldn't even notice.
Yeah. If you're out of the 4 o'clock to wash in, that'd be great.
Well, you're very generously after giving us a couple of books today to give away, and the Christmas book is one of them. So there's fantastic recipes from Kilkenny on the TV show, and if you've missed the show, you really have to watch it on Player. If you fancy doing something really special with the Christmas turkey, or a little bit different, there's more recipes in that book and details on the competition in just a couple of minutes. But you mentioned the Home Economics book as well, Nevin. The Home Economics for Life, that's out this year and doing very well from what I see on the lists.
Yeah, it's been my most successful book, Francis, to be honest with you. I mean, like, I was the first boy, so how it goes about is I was the first boy to do home economics in school in Manor Hamilton. It's about 15 minutes from where I live in Leitrim. And, yeah, my home economics teacher, Mairead McMorrow, was a fantastic influence. Like, my mother, that's where I got my love of food, my mother, Vera. You know, from the age of 12, I wanted to be a chef, and I done home economics. And I got picked on a little bit, and I got slagged a little bit. But I think home economics is so much about life skills and education. And I think every young person should be able to cook. And it's great to see the government, and they're putting a proposal that hopefully up until third year, that every young person will be able to cook. Because I think once you cook from scratch, and I'm talking about simple recipes, whether it's a stir fry or whatever it is, once students understand food and how you cook, they're going to be healthier, they're into their nutrition and diet. And for me with this book, it's 50 of the most basic recipes. How to poach an egg, scrambled egg, a full chapter on eggs, full chapter on potatoes, the humble potato soups. Everything is covered, how to cook the steak, how to roast the chicken. But what's different to my other books, every single stage is photographed, from the raw ingredients, every single step by step. So that's different. So it's less recipes than my other books, but far more photographs.
I have to say it's a topic we've covered many times on the show, and I know you were over at Food on the Edge, and it's a JP McMahon is something that he feels very strongly about, as well as the education in schools. And he was another man who did home economics in school as well, actually first in his school, I think, as well. Got a bit of a hard time for it. And now the two of you, fantastically successful chefs.
Well, JP is someone who I really admire, and I was at Food on the Edge too. Some of my team in the kitchen, there was 10 of us went. I have to say, I had two fantastic days. I love Food on the Edge because, you know, it's very thought-provoking. You learn so much, and you learn from other chefs and guest speakers, and I have to admire JP, what he's done. I think he's a fabulous ambassador for Irish food, and he's very passionate about the whole food education. So is Doreena Allen. There's many, many good people out there, you know, that want, you know, to educate young children. And even if it's not at secondary school, even younger than that, like my local primary school in Fat Lion has about 70 pupils. So I go up once a year and I do a little cookery demo, show them how to do a stir fry, a smoothie, a quick little fruit kebab. It's very simple, but I bring a load of produce where I get them to taste. And then what I do for 5th and 6th class, I bring them into the cookery school, actually 6th class, sorry, because then they're leaving school, and they'll come in and they'll do a stir fry, they'll do a little fish dish, they'll do a chocolate brownie, they'll do a little pizza. So that's my way of giving back to the school, to young people, keeping it local in your community. So if more chefs could go into schools and do that, and I know it's takes up some of your time, but even to do a little talk, like a few hours, it's so important. I mean, like, I think we have a responsibility in one way, but it's also education, because we want to get young people thinking about food, and hopefully maybe they might want to be chefs, so it's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely, and not surprisingly, another generous thing that Nevin Maguire does locally, a little bit giving back. A very, very generous man. And Nevin, it was a pleasure having you down in Kilkenny. We really enjoyed having you down here, and congratulations on the fantastic TV show. You're welcome back at any stage.
Thank you so much.
And again, if you haven't seen that TV show, you have to get on RTE Player and have a look at it. And of course, Nevin is online, nevinmaguire.com, and he's on Twitter. I recommend you give him a follow, at Nevin Maguire. And of course, Nevin is in McNean House and Restaurant, and business will continue as normal right up to Christmas and after Christmas, Nevin.
Oh, absolutely. We've had a great year, thank God. And McNean, like, next year we're 30 years in business. When I think of my parents when they started, all my family worked in it. Now we've 65 employees. It's fantastic. Yeah. We've 19 rooms. You know, we don't do huge numbers. We do maybe 90 on a really busy Saturday night, two sittings. And it's all about a good team. Like my head chef, Carmel, she's been with me 13 years. My restaurant manager, 15 years. And then one woman in the restaurant, and she helps me in the cookery school 45 years. So we treat our staff like family, respect them. We work together as a team, and I'm so proud of doing one and doing it right. Because my client is small, there's only about 300 people there. But to get people travelling from Kilkenny and all the areas, Cork, Dublin, you name it, I'm so proud of that. I just want to do one, do it right, and give people a great food experience, local produce, local, good, friendly, attentive staff, and great Irish hospitality, and a drop of wine thrown in there too. Sure, it's a nice night out.
I'm on my way.
Good man.
Well, Nevin Maguire, thanks very much for joining us on the show today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you,
and a very happy Christmas to yourself and all your listeners. And listen, I can't wait to visit Kilkenny again. We'll catch up, Francis. Thanks a million.
You're a gentleman. Thank you. He really did enjoy his time in Kilkenny.
He really seemed to. It's a nice show, actually.
Lovely show. Yeah, lovely show. Final episode tonight. Looking forward to that. Another show that starts up tonight, actually, is Jamie Oliver and his mate Jimmy, Jamie and Jimmy's Friday Night Feast. I just noticed that today, and I mentioned it because one of the other books that I recommend from this year, and we talked about it on the show during the year, was Jamie Cook's Italy.
Oh,
back
yes,
to,
you loved that.
Back to form. Yeah, back to form for Jamie Oliver. A couple of the books I thought were hit and miss, but this is bang on, really good. Okay. And of course, Nevin Maguire, we're speaking about buying local, so maybe if an Irish author grabs your fancy, maybe pick up one of their books as well. I know the Allen family, there's a couple of those, have them
good,
out.
Yeah, Doreena has the Delicious Classics or something like that. Mm. I remember when they came out, I actually remember my mother buying those Simply Delicious. They were long time ago and stuff, but they were great books at the time when there wasn't such a selection of books back then, like 35 years ago, I suppose.
I know we've mentioned it before, but isn't it funny how a cookbook in the old days, when it was published, might have had a couple of years shelf life, and now you have Nevin, who's producing one a year, and Doreen and so on, Rachel, like, if it's there for a year, it's kind of like done, you know, then it's in the bargain bin. Next book needs to be brought out, you know.
Yeah.
And another book that was published this year by a friend of Crow and Cottages and a friend of mine, And his second book in 2 years was Time by Gil Meller. And again, I know I mentioned it during the year, but it's a really, really lovely book. And he puts an awful lot of thought and effort into his books and the photography that goes with them. So if you have somebody particularly who likes it, it kind of seasonal cooking, he's big into the seasonality.
An
ingredients cook, that's an excellent way of describing it, Max. So Time, A Year and a Day in the Kitchen by Gil Meller, and that's by Quadrille. That's about £30, although I've seen it on special around €25 at the moment, so that's well worth picking up. And another one that I wanted to give a mention to, of course, his buddy Stephen Lamb and our buddy Stephen Lamb, his cheese and dairy handbook from River Cottage. That's out at the moment, and he's started to teach cheese courses now, cheese making courses over at River Cottage, and we'll be talking to Lucy Brazier after the next ad break about all things at River Cottage, so I thought I'd give that a mention as well. Now, what other gifts have you come up with?
Okay, Birdwatch Ireland membership present. I got a couple of years ago and I've kept it up over the years.
Very good.
You get your magazine, your updates and everything, so that's nice. I think it's like €50 or thereabouts.
And Seed Savers do a similar one.
Yeah, and Seed Savers actually this year have Christmas crackers. Have you seen those?
Oh.
So you know you get Christmas crackers and you have more plastic junk that ends up in the bin eventually. They have a little packet of seeds in the crackers.
Brown envelope seeds are doing exactly the same
thing. Sorry, it's brown envelope seeds. Right, sorry, okay. I made a mistake there. Sorry, so brown envelope seeds in Cork. So they have, now they're expensive because you've got a packet of seeds in them. Or they seem expensive and stuff, and they're made from really nice brown paper and that, so they're, I think they're a lovely present actually. If you want to be very generous, maybe a pair of binoculars for somebody who's getting into bird watching, or a handy thing to have anyway. Also ingredients, you know, you get somebody some really good herbs and spices, a nice selection of herbs and spices, or a fruit hamper. You get it from the nice fruit and veg shop on John's Green, exactly. We're kind of spoiled for choice with the nice wine shops, so you could buy somebody some very nice, maybe organic wine or something that they wouldn't normally buy during the year. So you have Le Caveau, the Wine Centre, and the Little Green Grocer have a lovely selection. Or you could make them something. I know you did your class, so you can make presents for everybody this year, but like a jam, chutney. I think cranberry sauce is a nice thing to make. If you're making some for yourself, make a bigger batch and jar it up nicely. Nice bit of ribbon and stuff.
Excellent. Now save the rest. We better take an ad break because then we have to go to Lucy Brazier over in River Cottage on the phone, and we'll have the final gift suggestions for the foodie and the gardener in your life just after we talk to Lucy. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. You can email the show, kitchengarden@corkc.ie. Text us on 086 353 7782. Now, last week I paid a visit to River Cottage on the Devon and Dorset border in the UK, a favourite haunt of mine in the UK and my kind of spiritual home for all things small holding and foodie learning and so on. And there's a lady over there, Lucy Brazier, has been involved with Hugh and the rest of the team at River Cottage HQ, where they are now, for the last dozen years. And she's writing their book on the Christmas, which will be out next year, and she's running their Christmas cookery and Christmas hamper classes. So I spoke to Lucy about what she was doing and about River Cottage in general, and here's our chat. We've just finished the Christmas hamper course here at River Cottage. I've had an absolutely fabulous day.
Oh, thank you.
And as did the other 13 people.
Yeah.
All of them ladies. I was the only man
here
today.
I'm so sorry. That hasn't been like that before. The last couple we've done, there has been a slightly more even amount.
I was afraid you'd charge me extra. I had a great day.
I think you loved it.
I absolutely loved it.
I think it worked.
And it was good I was here, because otherwise who would they have thrown all of those double entendres about toasted nuts?
I know, that's why it was important that you were here. That's why we had to keep you. Otherwise, I would have had you sent away.
But what a range of things we made. It was absolutely fabulous. But before we talk about that, Lucy, you've been around River Cottage at Park Farm here for a long time, haven't you?
I've been here for 12 years. I joined when River Cottage moved to Park Farm. So we bought the farm 12 years ago, and it was derelict barn, derelict farmhouse. And so I was part of the team who started to rebuild it. Not physically, literally, although I have planted some apple trees in the orchard, but more from building the business and the courses and building the brand as a whole. So before that, Hugh actually started 20 years ago next year. So Wow. We celebrate our River Cottage 20-year anniversary next March. And that's the date of when the first show was aired, when he was in a little cottage about 20 minutes from here, where he started to do a sort of small holding thing. And that was filmed for Channel 4, and that really was the beginning of it.
20 years, it's hard to believe.
Mm.
But apart from that small little cottage that first appeared on the TV show, which wouldn't really have suited kind of bringing groups of people together, Park Farm has a beautiful setup where...
Yeah.
The principles that Hugh discussed in that early show on the small holding are done on a slightly larger scale.
Yes.
And here we have animals that are farmed ethically.
Yeah.
There's large fields for them to kind of roam in. There's beehives. There's the garden itself at the back of the house is absolutely fabulous.
Mm.
And then a range of locations for different events to take place.
Mm.
Where we're sitting now is the old Park Farm.
I think this is the heartbeat of River Cottage. This feels to me like it's the sort of iconic image that people think about if they know about River Cottage. It's where we film all the cookery shows. It's where we do big meetings about what we want to do moving forward. It's where we will celebrate as a team. It's where people come and celebrate birthdays. They get married here, so it's a fantastic place of celebration. The farmhouse sort of encapsulates that sort of 16th century onwards. And when we first moved here, it was in a pretty bad state. Mm. And so we have maintained the slate floors. We've kept those. We've put in a couple of SC wood burners, but we've tried not to change it too much. We've tried to keep it as you would expect. And I think people love to come in here.
It's a fabulous space. And this room we're in now, this massive, massive table here where we had lunch earlier today, a beautiful, warm kind of space, probably the nicest place I've ever done an interview, I have to tell you. Really nice, very cozy. We won't tell anybody about the two glasses.
The support that we're drinking.
Yes, exactly.
It's been a long day, though. Yeah. It's been a long day.
So there's a range of courses running
yes.
here now at HQ, aren't there?
Yeah. We have our signature courses that we started with right at the beginning, so bread making. Those courses have developed, so we now do a two-day sourdough course. We do a Christmas bread and baking course. We do. We look at fish skills, knife skills. We build bread ovens for build and bake. We have curing and smoking classes, and we have a smoker. And we have different areas on the farm where we can work. And one of those areas that's quite new is the outdoor cookery area.
Mm.
And so we use that quite a bit as well. So Steve Lamb will use it for curing and smoking courses. Gil Mellor will use it for his outdoor cookery courses. So we have various areas on the farm that we can use those courses. And we're going to build another bread oven next year. This year, we've just started to do more craft courses. So in the farmhouse and in the barn, and they might be willow weaving or watercolour, painting, calligraphy, which has gone out to a whole new audience. That's been really exciting. But our core subjects of nose to tail and bread and preserves and fermentation, they still stand, and they're the sort of cornerstone of the business.
And it's also outside that stuff happens, isn't it? So I know John Wright has led some foraging kind of courses here. And then in the summer, there's a couple of festivals even that happen on site.
So John is our expert forager. He's amazing. And I've never eaten a mushroom without showing it to John first. He does all of our October mushroom foraging courses, and then he goes to the seashore. So we have a whole range of those as well. And then he joins us at our food fair, which is in May, and our summer festival, which is at the end of August. So he and the rest of the contributors join, and we all have a fantastic array of food stalls and demos, and we have talks, discussions that Hugh will tend to host, and we have amazing guests. Next year, Otto Lenghi is joining us. We had Tom Kerridge this year, which was really exciting. So that's a great way for people to come and see River Cottage during the day and have a little bit of an idea of what we do, and also bring the children as well, because it's very child-friendly.
Yeah, I've seen lots of children here during the festivals, and it has a lovely family kind of atmosphere too.
Yeah.
But today, speaking of children, Christmas
yes,
is mostly about
Christmas.
Yes. Oh,
well, it's not really, is it? That's
well,
really what my course is about. It's about it not being about the children.
Well, it was a very adult kind of Christmas that we had here
yes.
today. So
yes.
Delicious recipes that we made.
Thank you.
Some of them I've never made before. Some of them I'd never even heard of. Shrub is a new thing to me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because when you put a course together, and particularly at this point, 12 years on, where we have a big range of courses. This was a new course that we developed earlier in the year, and it was really important to me to look at those things that I make every year and that are real staples, not just for River Cottage, but for me personally. And as I'm not a professional chef, they needed to be things that I loved and was confident to make and could inspire other people to make. And I hope that with the selection that we've done today, with the ketchup, the curd, the spelt digestives, the chocolate salami, that we've had a good mix of different treats.
There wasn't a single thing that we made today that I won't be making again.
Great.
They're all part of my Christmas repertoire from now on. Delicious recipes, really, really good.
Brilliant.
And very achievable at home. Now, I know it helped that we had little fairies who did all of the chopping and cleaning up
yes,
for us.
Yes, the magic table.
The magic table,
yeah.
Where stuff vanishes and comes back
yeah.
through. You wouldn't have that at home. But
no.
We did so many today, but each one of those, very easy to do in an hour or two at home over Christmas. And they're going to be included in a book, aren't they?
They are, they are. I'm writing the last in the handbook series. We have... We're up to number 16, so we've got... Gil's got his 17th handbook is Outdoor Cookery, and that's Gil's, that's coming out next May. And then we have two more being written, Fermentation and Bees and Honey. And then I write the last one, which is Christmas. So that will be out probably in about 2 or 3 years. And that's the end of a 20-book series that we've been writing. And we cover... I think all the major topics, and all of our contributors have written a book. So there's a lot of, there's Hedgerow, there's a booze book, John Wright wrote that, unsurprisingly.
I actually have that one.
That's a
also
brilliant
unsurprisingly.
One. Unsurprisingly. and we've got preserves and bread, and I've got fishing and game. By the time you have all 20, you shouldn't need any other book.
So the kind of country skills are all covered in
yes,
the series of handbooks.
Absolutely.
But the website is also very generous, and I know there's a lot of recipes featured on the website as well,
yes.
rivercottage.net.
Yeah.
A great resource for people who are interested in this kind of
yes.
country lifestyle.
Yeah, it's brilliant. We have a lot of recipes up there, and we are developing a bigger blog for next year that will capture a lot of our 20th anniversary stories. So a lot of us, the team who've been here a long time, and where people have come and gone and come and done courses and been inspired to set up businesses, people who've just been able to transform their garden into a little growing space. So from little stories to really big ones, and Hugh will also be writing on the blog throughout the year as well to talk about his experiences over the years. Mm. So we will tell that story on the website, as well as having all the recipes and the calendar for all our events and lots of other information as well.
Fabulous. Well, that's something to look forward to in the new year. But between now and then, I have lots of recipes to make when I get back home, and some delicious things to take home with me to enjoy over the Christmas. So Lucy Brazier, thank you very much for enhancing my Christmas back home.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And really fabulous.
Well, it's been lovely to have you. So thank you very much for being here.
Now, I must ask Lucy, can I publish a couple of the recipes that she gave me on the podcast of the show when I put it up, because there was so much lovely stuff.
The ones you promised me.
Yes, yes, the ones I promised you. And I can't wait for that Christmas book to come out next year. And lots of stuff in there I'd never heard of. Shrub, had you ever heard of shrub?
No, we hadn't.
A vinegar-based drink with like rhubarb or whatever.
I can't
whatever.
Wait
Quince?
For my bottles
really,
this year.
Really good. I'll always make that from now on. Now, a few more gifts before we run out of time. And don't forget, there's still time to enter our competition. There's a few entries in here, which is great. So there's still time to enter the competition. If you'd like a copy of Nevin Maguire's Christmas book, then just drop us a text, 086-353-7782, just with your name, that's all, and then we'll pick somebody out before the end of the show.
Excellent.
Now, some more presents.
Cumberland sauce, Make somebody a jar of Cumberland sauce. It's a sweet, kind of citrusy, slightly sticky kind of sauce. Mm-hmm. You have it with ham. It's fabulous. I got a present of a jar of it last year, actually, from my sister. But it takes a little bit of effort. Mm. So
something like that, a bit of effort goes into, though, is nice, because you know really the person was thinking and of it as they were doing.
Everyone's not going to go off and make their own jars and stuff, so you're kind of relying on someone.
What about the gardener? Any presents for the gardener?
I think, if you were looking for a nice calendar... Now, this is not local, so it's all the way from West Cork. But Sonia Caldwell in Kilcoo Studios near Skibbereen makes the most beautiful calendars with native trees and flowers. Every year they're different and they're always beautiful. So that's kilcoostudios.com.
They are lovely, lovely calendars. Yeah. They're lovely calendars. And I have to thank Jane Perez in the Sunday Times for publishing a list of garden books or books that would be suitable for the gardener around Christmas time, and absolutely flagrantly stealing from her list in the newspaper. There are a few that caught my eye. The RHS Little Book of Small Space Gardening by Kay Maguire. Really, really nice. Not everybody has massive gardens, so a small garden and you want to transform that into a beautiful place to spend some time, this book looks really nice. So the RHS Little Book of Small Space Gardening. There's also another book, again, the title grabbed my attention. Can Anything Stop Slugs by Guy Barter, and that gives you some of the science behind how to get rid of pests in the garden, and tips and tricks that will help you there. And there's one other one, and that I know you'll like, so if you want to close your ears, I might buy this for you for Christmas. It's the story of Field of Dreams, it's called, How We Transformed a Rural Desert into a Thriving Wildlife Garden. And that's about the transformation of 17 acres in rural County Tyrone, which were bought by Bob and Rosemary Salisbury, and virtually desolate when they took it over, and now it's home to 64 species of birds and 12 species of mammals and so on. Turned into a giant nature reserve. That sounds very really good.
Well, another idea kind of on the same similar theme, I suppose, not similar theme, but bird feeders. Such a nice selection of bird feeders. You can buy some beautiful ones. Bird feeder and some feed would be a nice little thing wrapped up. Or good garden implements, really good quality implements. Always appreciated.
Absolutely. I love nicely made garden tool, good quality. And speaking of tools, things to do in the garden this week, we're going to go easy on you because we know that you're all busy with Christmas shopping. I'm just going to tell you to check any of those stored fruits or potatoes or onions that you have in your shed. Make sure there's nothing gone rotten. And you're waving at me. What's the message?
Make a Christmas wreath.
Make a
go
Christmas
to your
wreath.
Garden, yeah. Mm. Like hazel, alder, dogwood. There's loads of nice stuff. And actually, if you go on YouTube, there'll be somebody there who will show you exactly how to do it. You can buy the ring in one of the flower shops, Lucy's Flowers, just up the road, actually, for, I think they're like 75 cent or something.
Very good.
And
might do that with the kids at the weekend.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And you can dry oranges. If you slice...
That's it. Oranges. We're out of time. We're out of time. And a huge thank you again to Nevin Maguire for his generosity. And the winner of the book is Angela. Angela, we'll be in touch with you to get your details, and we'll send a copy of that book straight to you. But we've run out of time in the Kitchen Garden for another week. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, you can keep in touch with us during the week on Twitter. I'm at Nesbitt F, and Mags is at Mags Morrissey.